And now, the scores, the highlights, the clinches, and the clutch plays. Todd Van Wyk presents Halftime, your review and preview of the week in sports.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Halftime. On tonight's show, we're going to visit with tennis teen idol Michael Chang. The French Open champion is visiting Taiwan this week. ICRT's Eric Olander caught up with Chang, and they talked a bit about tennis and Michael's feelings about visiting the ROC. There was plenty of football action this past weekend, both types of football, that is, the game with the oblong ball and that of the round variety as well. We'll have a rundown on what's happening in European football from Tim Knight in London, and we'll talk with Dallas quarterback Babe Laufenberg about one of his peers, Joe Montana of the San Francisco 49ers. Syracuse is no longer number one in college basketball, and Peter Thompson will fill us in on all the latest NCAA news. And we'll round out tonight's show with Chris Kaufman's NHL Blue Line. Before we move on to Europe and America, let's focus in on one of the most popular athletes here in the ROC, Chinese-American tennis star Michael Chang. The 17-year-old stunned the tennis world last year by winning the French Open, becoming the youngest player ever to win a men's Grand Slam event. The victory put him among the elite of pro tennis, and he's currently ranked number 6 in the world. Still, all the riches and fame haven't changed Michael Chang. He's a soft-spoken young man who tends to shun the spotlight, and like many American teenagers, he still receives an allowance from mom and dad. The Changs travel with Michael as often as they can, and they've had a big influence on his personality as well as his style of play.
My parents have always told me that I play best when I'm calm, and I think that the Chinese family tends to be more close, and they just tend to they tend to respect their parents a lot more, and that's just the way they are.
At the young age of 17, Chang is still learning about the pro game, and he hopes his development will encourage young Asian players to dedicate themselves to a career in pro tennis.
I'm hoping that my tennis career can spark something in the Asian community, so that there'll be other Asian players can either come out to try the pro tour and to try against the best. My major goal at this moment, as far as tennis is concerned, is to really work on my game and work on everything that I can, so that when I do reach my best years in tennis, hopefully I can reach that number one spot.
Like all other young pros, Michael's goal is no less than number one. And even with his great success in 1989, he sees the need to improve his game for a run at number one.
Well, I think that everything still needs to be improved. I can always be a little quicker, be a little stronger, and everything can always be improved. I think that the last year has given me a lot more experience to play in the big tournaments and to play against the best, and hopefully this experience will help me out, so that when I go and compete against them in the coming years, I'll be able to cope with it in the best way.
Though on a hectic schedule, Chang took time out to take in some of the sights and sounds of the local culture.
I like Taiwan, probably because I can. It's just kind of special to come to a place where you can, see what kind of culture you're that's here, and just because you have something in common, and being the same race and stuff, it just makes you really curious of the different types of lifestyles.
Well, as Michael Chang leaves the island, Taiwan gets ready to welcome a group of foreign athletes that will become part of sports history here in the ROC. This coming Sunday, 16 pro baseball players arrive from the United States and Latin America to join the teams in the ROC's new Professional Baseball League. The four teams will open training camp later this month, and the 98-game season will get underway on March the 17th. The highlight of soccer in Europe last weekend was the first big round in the world's oldest and best-known domestic competition, the FA Cup in England. It is the stage where the lower division teams try to oust the big boys. Every year there are upsets, and this year it was no exception. Tim Knight reports from London.
Several of the bigger clubs suffered a humiliating exit, dumped out by teams they've been expected to beat. West Ham United, who are still hoping to return to the first division at the first time of asking, despite their recent indifferent form in the league, travelled to fourth division Torquay on the Devon coast and lost 1-0. And even Liverpool, the cup holders, only just scraped through to fight another day after a goalless draw at Swansea. For Coventry, it was another big disappointment. 3 years ago, they won the cup for the first time. This year was the second in succession. They were knocked out at the same stage to much lower opposition. Last year, it was non-league Sutton. This year, it was at third division Northampton. Coventry's manager, John Sillett, had no excuses.
I've got no excuses whatsoever. And I've got no doubts whatsoever that Northampton deserved to win it. They came out and they started the match playing forward football. We started it playing square and backwards. From the kickoff, which was a disaster from our point of view, which we work at all week and we get things organised, was a failure. And from those starts, it comes a bad finish for me. I think you've got to make good starts on a good finish, and it was never on for us.
The team Coventry beat in the 1987 final, Tottenham Hotspur, are also out. They lost 3-1 at home, although that was to Southampton, who are one place above them in the league table and surprising most people with their exciting form this season. Meanwhile, troubled Manchester United avenged their defeat of last season at the hands of Nottingham Forest, this time running out 1-0 winners. And Hereford, in the lower reaches of the 4th Division, are relishing the prospect of playing host to the Mighty Reds in the romantic tie of the 4th round. Arsenal, though, are the 4-1 favourites for the Cup now. In the next round, they have a home tie against Cardiff or fellow Londoners Queen's Park Rangers. In Scotland, Rangers strengthened their position at the top of the league table with a 2-0 win over Aberdeen, although Celtic also won at St Mirren. The Italian league table is virtually unchanged. A late header by Andrea Carnevale from a Diego Maradona free kick earned leaders Napoli a 1-0 victory against lowly Ascoli. Title contenders Milan and Roma both scored 3 goals in their wins against Cesena and Udinese, respectively. Inter, though, are in second place after winning 1-0 away to Cremonese. In Spain, the big Madrid derby ended in Real's favour, the current champions beating rivals Atletico 3-1 in a match littered with yellow cards, 12 in all, plus a red one for Argentine World Cup back Oscar Ruggeri. Several of Europe's countries are still on their winter break, but there's alarming news from Holland that a total of 11 managers and players from Ajax of Amsterdam are being summoned to appear in court next summer to face tax evasion and fraud charges. Those involved face 8 years in prison. It follows an investigation into financial details of a number of players' transfers in the last 9 years. So even when there's no football on the field, there's plenty of news off it, even if it's sometimes not the right sort. This is Tim Knight in London.
In American football, we have news of the right sort this week, and it's about a guy with the right stuff, San Francisco quarterback Joe Montana. Montana ranks among the greatest quarterbacks ever, having led the 49ers to 3 Super Bowl titles. And this year he put together an MVP season to lead the defending champions to the NFC title game. But Montana plays the game in pain. He has a back condition so serious that several doctors have recommended that he retire from the game to avoid a crippling injury. And this year he's been bothered by badly bruised ribs. Still, Montana plays on. Now, what motivates Montana to keep going? We asked another veteran quarterback, Babe Laufenberg of the Cowboys, for his thoughts on Montana.
I think the thing that's motivating Joe Montana right now, this season, is getting that 4th Super Bowl win. The only other quarterback to have done it is Terry Bradshaw with the great Pittsburgh teams of the 70s. And I think Montana wants his place in history as being the only other quarterback to win 4. Of course, he could always come back and get a 5th, but he's making $2 million a year, guaranteed contract. He doesn't need to be playing. He is playing with broken ribs, or bruised ribs at least. He's gone through a series of cortisone injections before each game in his last 3 outings, and I know from experience that's no fun. And as I say, any other player, I think, might just say, take a week off or let him heal up in the off season, but Montana won't let himself be pulled from the game. He told the head coach, George Seifert, that he wanted to play down the stretch, even though the 49ers had already clinched the division. So I think the big thing right now, he wants to be known as as the greatest quarterback ever to play the game. And if he wins his fourth Super Bowl this year, I think a lot of people are going to give him that accolade.
ICRT's NFL analyst Babe Laufenberg talking about San Francisco quarterback Joe Montana. Plenty of upsets and changes in the top 25 of college basketball this past week. Peter Thompson has the story from Boston.
There were eight undefeated teams in the top 25 last week, but that number's been cut in half as Syracuse, Illinois, Indiana, and LaSalle all experienced their first losses of the season. Looking quickly at these teams, former number one Syracuse got hammered at home in the Carrier Dome by Villanova, losing 93-74. Illinois was number four. They got dumped by Minnesota 91-74. Former number 10 Indiana lost its Big Ten opener to Ohio State. And number 23 Loyola Marymount traveled from L.A. to Philly to knock off number 17 LaSalle 109-105. Now, what does all this mean? Well, the Jayhawks of Kansas at 15-0 are the number one team in the country. That's the first time they've been ranked number one during the season since 1957 when Wilt Chamberlain was playing for Kansas. The rest of the top 10 goes like this. Number 2, Georgetown. Right now, number 3, Michigan, although we'll talk later about their close loss to Indiana. Number 4, Oklahoma. Number 5, Missouri. Moving down to number 6 is Syracuse. Number 7 is UNLV, although they lost close one Monday night to New Mexico State, 83-82. Illinois drops to number 8. Georgia Tech is number 9. And Duke rounds out the top 10. Going back to that Indiana-Michigan matchup on Monday night, the Wolverines jumped out to a huge lead in Indiana. They were on top by 20 points at one juncture. But in the second half, Bobby Knight's Hoosiers put the clamp on Michigan, stopping them cold and leaving Michigan coach Steve Fisher describing what it feels like.
You're disgusted, depressed, and upset. It was a game that we had for the taking, and we didn't take it. We're up 64-52, somewhere thereabouts, with 8 minutes to go, and don't score again until there's 33 seconds to go in the game. They scored 17 unanswered points, I believe.
They sure did, as Michigan could only manage 3 points in the last 8 minutes, leaving Coach Fisher upset with his Wolverines. Indiana coach Bobby Knight was naturally happy with the come-from-behind victory over Michigan, giving credit to his whole team.
It's not tennis, so it's hard to single out individuals, as I've said in the past, but it was a really, really good effort in the second half. We got things done that we wanted to try to do with the lineup that we had in the second half, so we've got to be very, very pleased with our effort.
That's for sure. Indiana is currently ranked 13th in the country. A lot of outstanding matchups coming up this week, with number 9, Georgia Tech, having the toughest schedule as they meet number 10, Duke, and number 17, North Carolina State. For ICRT, this is Peter Thompson, Boston.
The Pittsburgh Penguins are trying to fly. After last night's trouncing of the New York Rangers, perhaps they've gotten a whiff of the great herring in the cup. Chris Kaufman reports from the NHL Blue Line.
Resting at third place in the Patrick Division, the Penguins are toasting center Mario Lemieux, score of 4 against the Rangers last night. Mario has scored points in a whopping 31 consecutive games, and last night he shot his 24th career hat trick. Lemieux's brute strength was evident. He carried defenseman Lindy Ruff on his back through the zone and then shrugged him off at the crease to backhand a shot past goaltender Bob Froese for his second goal of the night. Not nearly as husky as Lemieux, Wayne Gretzky showed he won't be pushed around. After two Patrick Division checks from Washington's Neil Sheehy, the great Gretzky rumbled a bit and took two roughing penalties for punching Sheehy in the face. Justifiably, AP's athlete of the decade centered himself and commented, "I guess he thinks he can throw me off my game." Gretzky's game didn't suffer. His two third-period goals and an assist brought the Kings a 7-4 victory over the Caps. And in the standings, in the Wales Conference Adams Division, Rick Dudley's Buffalo Sabres have fallen from the front as Boston leads by a point. The New Jersey Devils have taken the lead from Philadelphia Flyers in the Patrick Division. Then it's Pittsburgh, Washington, and both New York teams cooling in the cellar in the Patrick. In the Campbell Conference, Smythe Division leaders Edmonton have the edge over Calgary, followed by L.A., Winnipeg, and Vancouver in the back. And then, in a rough-and-tumble Norris, Keenan's Chicago Blackhawks have a six-point lead in Toronto, followed by Minnesota, St. Louis, and Detroit, where Jacques Demers is trying to figure out how to get his Red Wings across the blue line. For ICRT Sports, I'm Chris Kaufman.
Well, that just about does it for this week's edition of Halftime. I'd like to give a special thanks to Mr. Eric Olander for his help on the Michael Chang interview. And, of course, thanks to all of you for tuning in to Halftime.
Listen every Wednesday evening at 6:30 for Halftime, your review and preview of the weekend sports. Halftime with Todd Van Wyk is brought to you exclusively on ICRT.